What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loot Bros Podcast. I am your host, Resident Daryl, and today I am joined by my good friend and the commissioner of the Backlog Beatdown. It is JT. What's up, brother?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good.
Do you have a good Christmas?
It was good, man. We had been very, very sick in this house. I was telling you before we started, we all got the flu and pretty much bedbound until Christmas Day. Christmas Day, we got out and did some stuff with the family. A little bit of Christmas Eve as well.
We were going to go down to Long Island to see our cousins and aunts and uncles of my dad's side. Grandpa, but the host, my Aunt Angela, got COVID.
Dang.
So we couldn't go down anymore. So what we had a family Thanksgiving at my parents' place, and it was good. I got $160 of Steam gift cards, so I just went on like, I asked for it because I was like, there's a winter sale and I want to like go on a major shopping binge.
Buy all those naughty games?
No.
All the Christmas sale naughty list games?
Nah. I bought quite a few good stuff. Hold on. I could get it right here. I bought Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2. I bought Tell Me Why. I bought all the Walking Dead Telltale games. I bought Lies of P, which I hear great things about.
Yeah, I hear it's really good.
I bought Shin Megami Tensei 3, which is like a Persona spinoff. I got Remnant 2. I hear great things about that.
Yep, Thomas said that was really good.
I got Monster Hunter Stories 2. I got Sea of Stars, which is one of those indie games that was dramatically more successful than most of the AAA games that came out. And then I bought all the Dragon Ages. I bought, and with that came Mass Effect Andromeda. I did not mean to buy that jank that just came with the bundle. Then I bought Yakuza Like a Dragon. Then I bought Chained Echoes, which is another, like Sea of Stars. It was basically the Sea of Stars from 2022. It was like that indie game.
Okay.
I bought Grim Dawn, which is Diablo-esque. It's like a Diablo-style game. And that's what I got.
Sweet.
With $160 bucks.
There you go. That's dope. Now, I didn't go too crazy. I did not get the Portal. My wife struggled to get one. All the scalpers ate them up. So she bought me
Do you think those scalpers are actually going to get money for that shit?
I don't know, man.
It seems like a very niche product. I think it's good for you, though. But like, I feel like if you're not a dad, what are you using?
Right, it's the Dad Station Portal. So it's weird because I've seen some guys arguing online, like the scalpers, like people posting them in groups and stuff. And they're like, dude, this thing's $199. And people are trying to, you know, charge $399 for it. And the response from the scalpers, and I've seen two different guys say this, is, well, where else are you going to get one? And I get what you're doing. You guys are hogging them all up and you're forcing dads like me or wives like mine who don't know any better. And I told her, I said, don't get it. Don't buy it. If we get it for $199 or we don't get it. And it'll be restocked on PlayStation Direct in 2 weeks. And because they've got like a little thing on there for it. So I hope the scalpers get stuck with them.
they're going to get stuck with them because it's a very niche product. It's not something that a scalper should even think about buying.
No, like, they're trying to
turn a profit on something that's useless to most of the gaming demographic.
I would imagine.
It's perfect for you, but for someone like me, I have my Steam Deck and Switch. Why would I want that?
What's funny is because all the dads that I talk to, they all have them. Like all my dad bros have them, and they're all loving it. Like
I bet
it's so funny because so many of them say the same thing. Wife hogs the TV. I can play games. I got a buddy of mine who he hotspots in Carline while he picks his kids up from school, and he plays Call of Duty Warzone in Carline on his dad station portal.
And he sends does me pictures all the time through his smartphone as a hotspot.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to do it on most public Wi-Fi's, but that, yeah.
Well, I've watched some videos on guys going to crappy coffee shops and still playing games on there, playing Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, no, that's because there's no, browser requirement to like go into a browser to press accept terms.
But you
can't go into a Starbucks and play that.
Yeah, well, he wasn't at Starbucks. We'll see.
You can't even do it at a hotel.
Yeah, see, the hotel we were just at the week before
unless it has
that weird browser thing, and like I can't even sign on the PS4. It won't pop it up on the PS4.
Uh-huh.
So we were without internet, you know, on our consoles. And so anyway, it's cool. I'm excited about it. And for what I do and how I live, this will be a huge piece for me. Yeah. And so I'll eventually get a backup as well. I'll have to have one in the box in case my dad's station portal ever goes down.
Don't feed the scalpers.
Say what?
Don't feed the scalpers. I fed a scalper for a PS5. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it.
No, I've never fed a scalper before. And I don't plan on starting today. And the thing is this.
I don't really think he was a total scalper, though, because like he was selling it for only $100 more, which to me was a good deal considering what the scalpers were selling. Like it was a $600 PS5 versus $1,000.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, dude, for a while there, that was the only option people had, so... but like I said, I don't feed scalpers, and I'm excited. I love the hunt. You know what I'm saying? Like hunting for this is exciting to me. So like when it's over, I was like, cool, I'll have it. But like the anticipation and the buildup right now is what's really cool. So JT, before we really get into the reason why we're here, and we're just going to kind of do a recap for the year on the Backlog Beatdown is, I want to know what you've been playing. I know you said you bought some games. What have you been playing recently?
So I have been playing, I'm almost done with The Walking Dead Season 2.
Nice.
I only have one more episode, which I will do after this.
Is this your first time playing it?
Hell no.
Okay, I thought that was the case, but I just wanted to make sure.
I played it on the PS4. I have never played it on the PS3, though. Ironically.
So I've played those Walking Dead games every way you can play them. And because I've gotten those platinums and those 100% so many times, I've seen everything you can do dialogue wise because I've played all the different versions of them.
Yeah, I play all the different versions of season one, not season two, though. I enjoy season two more than season one.
Really?
I like when the characters get more mature, you know, like this kid is getting more mature. She's not like a scared wuss anymore. She's doing things that the adults can't even do. And I like the evolution of Clementine as a whole. But I will say that I am also playing Final Fantasy 13-2. I posted in the Backlog Beatdown, Facebook group that I had just beaten the game.
Yeah.
I am going for the completion. The PC port is not good. it's not good. I had to apply fixes to this game to make it work. So you open it up and you beat the tutorial part of the game, and it force crashes. It like force quits the game. I do it again, it does it again. I do it again, it does it again. I look it up, I'm like, okay, so yeah, I have to disable the cloud saves. Okay, that's done. It does it again. There's like, okay, so now there's this patch, this fan-made patch I have to download. Seems sketchy, but I'll do it anyways. And now it works. But the thing is that I don't know how they got to that, because Final Fantasy 13 was a fairly decent port. Final Fantasy 13-2 is jank, and then Lightning Returns is a fairly decent port too. So I don't know how that is the one that isn't good. I mean, it works fine after you fix it, though. And when you do fix it, it's obviously plays better than the PS3 version. But I do think that if there is a way to play that game, you should... Not that you're going to play it, but you should. I think it's better to play it in 4K on the Series X via backwards compatibility.
Okay.
Because you're not going to have any issues, and it's enhanced to be 60 frames 4K.
I dig it.
Other than that, after you apply the fixes, Final Fantasy 13-2 is fine. And that's what I've been playing. I also, I also beat the whole Trail series, the Legend of Hero Trails.
Jeez.
I beat all of the localized ones, because God knows that they're never going to be totally caught up with the Japanese versions. Because
dude, it's crazy. I've seen like, so many. There's like this this one Whatnot channel that I follow where they sell Japanese imports.
Yeah,
there's so many Trails games. It's crazy.
There's 10 that are localized in North America, but there's two more that need to be localized. And one of those is coming out next year localized. And I'm like, dang. Oh my God. I'm kind of thankful that it's easy to play it on Steam, because all the games are in one area. I don't have to have like a Vita, PS3, PS4, a PSP. For the Sky Trilogy, I don't have to have like many PlayStation devices. I don't have to do any of that. I just play it on Steam.
There you go. And you can all those work pretty well in the deck.
Trails of Cold Steel 1, 2, and no, Trails of Cold Steel 2 and 3 are not technically playable on the deck. But the rest are. And I don't know why it's 2 and 3. Because Trails in the Sky 1, 2, and 3, they work 100%. Trails, the Crosspell duology, which is Trails from Zero and Trails to Azure, those work 100%. They're even verified. Trails of Cold Steel is verified. Trails of Cold Steel 4 is playable, but not verified. But you can play the whole game. It works.
Dang.
And then Trails to Azure is 100% playable. But those two games, you cannot play on there. Gotcha. Trails of Cold Steel 2 and 3, which is insane to me. But I think there are ways to make it work, because I'm looking it up. And there are ways to finagle it to work. But out of the box, it doesn't work.
Gotcha. Okay.
But they're all
awesome. I've got a handful of games that I've been playing. I'll start from, I guess, the bottom of the list. Played some Power Wash Simulator. We got this one on PlayStation Plus, either extra or premium. I'm not 100% sure. Might have been regular. Extra. Yeah. And
Wasn't that one of the free games?
I think this was Essential.
Yeah, I think it was one of the Essential games.
Yeah, not a bad game. It's definitely not my thing, you know, like that's like not my favorite thing to do. Hang on 1 second. I got to send that text over. It's not my favorite thing to play. You know what I'm saying? Like I get a little antsy, you know, like it's supposed to be, everybody's like, oh, it's a Zen game. It's kind of like, you know, oh, this is supposed to be fun. For me, it's like the longer I got to spray up and down these little cracks and stuff, I'm just like, ah, come on. I just want this over with. Like, so yeah, I don't know that I'll finish it.
I can understand that. I'm not into simulation games either. I would just leave that to I'm styling on you, bro.
Yeah, that's it's not for me, but I might play it occasionally. Next up, Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, I started that game last month, but then decided to put it on hold. But from what I played, it is great. It's also Steam Deck verified.
So I played it on Xbox 360. There's the, you know, Dragon's Dogma, not the Dark Arisen expansion. And it's a great game. It's so good. I don't do the big open world high fantasy games like your Skyrims and stuff like that. This would be as close as I would get to something. Like
yeah, I don't think it's open world. I think it is. It's kind of it's weird. It's like Dragon Age. It's a straight line, but there are open areas, but it's not 100% open. It's weird.
I would say it's weird because you're right, because it does, like, there's certain sections where it has to, well. It's pretty open. Like, cause yeah, I'm going all over the place.
I wouldn't say it's 100% open because you can't like climb that mountain over there. You can't. Cause, in Skyrim, games like Skyrim, you're able to climb that mountain. You're right. Able to,
you have to find a trail to go around the mountain on Dragon's Dogma, you know, and there's like hubs and it's like really open and explorable around the hub. And then you get to the next hub. But once that hub's open, now it's completely open between the two areas. So it's like it's open in sections. And as you explore the map, which is ginormous, then it becomes more and more, you know, open world. So it's a fun game. I love the combat. I love climbing up on top of these giant monsters and slicing them. It's very much Lost Planet and Monster Hunter put together. So
it reminded me of Shadow of Colossus a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely got some Shadow of Colossus.
Without the tank controls.
How you scale the enemies and stuff. But I played a decent amount of that before we went on vacation. I played some Proteus. Proteus is like a boomer shooter, first person, Doom style shooter, fast pace, you know, pretty fun.
I bought that on Steam. I actually, because I really want to get into like the whole boomer shooter thing, and Steam has like this treasure trove of like Quake / Doom type boomer shooter action, like adrenaline stuff. I was like, yeah, well, I'll get that. It seemed pretty cool.
Proteus is a good one, and it's fun. It's got a really cool metal soundtrack on there too. So there's something about fast paced first person shooters with some aggressive rock and metal music that really pair well together. Next up, I've been chipping away at my Riddler trophies on Arkham Knight. I got in a little bit of a funk. Like, I beat a bunch of games and I didn't really know what I wanted to do next. And I was like, man, like after I beat Silent Hill Downpour, I just was kind of like, I don't know what I want to do. So I played some Hitman, I played some Earth Defense Force, I platinum Mia and the Dragon Princess, and then I just been kind of tasting a bunch of games, but I didn't really know what to jump into, and I didn't know if I should jump into another survival horror game. So as I was kind of grazing, I was like, you know what I really want to do? I want to play freaking Arkham. Like, I love the Batmobile. I love just tearing through the city, just doing crazy stuff. And I was like, you know, I said I was going to get the platinum in that game, and I haven't. So the save file I loaded up actually only had like 40 Riddler trophies on it. I think I have a save file on one of my old PS4s where I had over 100, but doesn't matter now.
Didn't use that cloud save.
Well, no, you know, because I never play on my primary, it never does it automatically. You know,
okay.
My kids always use my primary and I'm always playing on another account.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes a huge difference. So, but you know what? I didn't feel like digging through and figuring out which one had it, because it'd just be a lot of work. So, and I was sick. I was sick as balls. So I just sat in this recliner back here with my iPad and my lap and just looked at videos, looked at maps, and yeah, same thing. And I just sat there and I just played Arkham Knight, and I've got like 150 or 160 Riddler trophies now. Excuse me. Sorry. I was trying to mute the mic before I cleared my throat, but, and then, so I was chipping away at that. I beat a couple of the DLC, you know, I bought that season pass when it came out, when it was all that controversy on it. And like, I beat, the Red Hood story pack. I beat the GCPD lockdown story pack. We beat another one. I can't even remember which one, but we were just kind of chipping away at them. And then I took my kids out the day after Christmas to spend their Christmas money. They got a whole bunch of Christmas money, and I said, let's go get stuff. And they really are hardcore into Pokemon cards right now.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
for sure.
They're playing the mobile game as well. So they'll scan in their little card pack, their little card that comes with the QR code on it that, you know, puts their packs in their game. So, you know, they're playing the game itself with each other. They're building decks and they're, you know, building their collection. And then they're also playing the mobile game. So they wanted to go buy Pokemon cards. So I took them out to buy some Pokemon cards, and I found a brand new copy of the Metal Gear Solid collection for $40. And I was like, yeah, that's $40 is fine. So I put in MGS1 and played it.
Because from what I heard, Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 are effectively just rips of like the PS3 version, and it's not, the quality isn't very good on those games.
So I've only played MGS1, and it was awesome, but I don't think they did some spectacular job making it modern. There's rewind functionality.
It's not a remake, so
no, it's they're ports. They're as straightforward as ports. The only thing they really did was they added borders, so you can change the background of your border.
Konami.
I mean, it was fun though. I haven't played MGS1 since the PS1 days, and so I sat there and it took me 10 hours to beat it. That was my internal, you know, game clock or whatever said 10 hours in like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. But I died 50 times. I think it was like 49 times. I died a lot. It's a little jank to the controls. They kind of fight you a little bit, and they didn't. So it's weird because they didn't change the Japanese, you know, circle. In on the Japanese versions of games is like enter and then X is back out. But over here in America, X is enter and then circle is back out. Oh. So it's weird because the PlayStation itself navigates one way, but then internally in the game, it navigates another. So I constantly was getting my wires crossed, and that doesn't really matter until you do something like the Psycho Mantis fight, which was really awesome, but you have to change. You don't have to, but you know, I'm not good enough to beat him without it. You have to change your controller port. The PS3 allows you to just hold down the center button, the PS button, and you can change your controller options. All right. The PS4 and 5 do not. So they built a menu into the Metal Gear Solid collection to allow you to change your controller port. The problem is the way you access it. It's not through the touchpad. It's not through the start menu. You have to hit the PlayStation button, go to the main PlayStation home menu, go back into the game. Once you go into the game, then it prompts another display that has new options on there, right? There you can change your controller input. So, but the problem is you navigate X and circle differently on every one of those screens. So when you go to your main menu, X and circle do different things. So you could essentially get in a rhythm and then kick yourself back out of that menu or go back into the game without changing anything.
Imagine if you had dyslexia and you were doing that.
Oh my gosh, dude. It was making me crazy because it's like I would go in and I'd change it and then I would hit circle. But I'm in the menu, so now circle didn't do what X did, and then X didn't do what circle did, but then I had to go back out and go back in. It was super, I felt like I was just fumbling with the control a lot. But playing the game was a lot of fun. The nostalgia was through the roof. I play with my Pulse headset the majority of the time. I mean, I gotta be honest, I had been so sick for a couple of days where like it hurt to wear my headset. But you know, I played that game on a CRT TV with CRT speakers. You know what I'm saying? I've never heard that game with a pair of headphones. I never heard that game with good sound. And David Hayter's got a pretty low and grisly voice, you know? So hearing it with good proper sound was cool, man. It was like, man, this is fun. Hang on 1 second. Sniper Wolf fights were awesome. Vulcan Raven, Psycho Mantis. Like, and what's really cool too is there are it's weird because it looks very much like Konami did like the most basic, like wackest port you could do. But then there are certain things built in there where you can go in the menu before you start the game and you can choose like Konami game saves to put on your digital PlayStation memory card so that when you play the game, again, Psycho Mantis reads the memory card, you can have it call out, oh, you like Castlevania. Oh, you like Konami games. So,
oh my God.
It's cool. So they did put some love and TLC in there, but like overall it seems like a pretty lazy port, but I don't really care about the stuff like that. Like honestly, as long as I can play the game, that's kind of all I wanted. Now, I mean, as far as the physical collector, digital, anti-digital guy, even though I have thousands of digital games, it's kind of lazy in the fact that like these games are seriously this big, but they're not all on the disc. So you put the disc in and you have to download everything.
So that's our way of saying we still own the game.
We still own it. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. They had some nefarious stuff on there for sure. So, but yeah, so MGS collection is what I'm playing right now. And I don't know that I'm ready to go to 2 and 3 again. I just beat 3 not too long ago on the Vita. So I think I might go to 2, but I don't know if I want to play 2 on the PS5 or if I want to play it on my Vita. You know, like I haven't decided on what I want to do yet, but I definitely enjoyed it. And it was funny because, you know, my wife's been sick too. So I've been in my recliner, she's been in hers, and she's been reading this book. And so I for a little while I was using just the I've got a surround sound kind of deal in here with a sound bar and a subwoofer and stuff. So I was like, you know, just didn't want to wear my headset. My head was bothering me. So I'm sitting there and we're going through the final wave of dialogue. So the Sniper Wolf rematch, where she talks to you for 10 minutes, the Vulcan Raven fight, and then all the dialogue with Liquid Snake, and then the post Metal Gear fight. And then you hang out with Otacon at the end. And it's so funny. The anime stuff in the game was so funny. Like how he's like, yeah, I became a scientist because I wanted to make robots because of the anime that I grew up watching. And he explains what Japanese animation is. And like his name comes from anime. It was just like
breaking the fourth wall there, aren't you?
Oh, dude, it was so funny. But yeah, it was a good time, man. It was just like it was such a good, fun, melodramatic, like nostalgic experience, like the dialogue and just the back and forth. And I mean, just the whole thing with Vulcan Raven, he talks to you for like 20 minutes before y'all fight, and he says like there's like 3 different reasons. He gives you 3 different motivations. I'm Vulcan Raven, and I'm part Inuit, part Alaskan whatever. And he goes, and they call me such, you know, ear pull or something. He said there's some kind of like thing where guys would test their manhood by pulling each other's ears, and whoever gives up or rips the ear off wins. And it's like what? And it's like, wait a minute, you told me you're gonna fight because I'm the ultimate warrior, also you want to fight me because, you know, this whole ear pulling shenanigans, also because the Raven chose me. I'm like, which one is it?
You just want to kill me for all the reasons? What was your wife's response?
She's like, this is dumb. I'm like, yeah, it is. But you know what? It's wholesome. It's good, wholesome, dumb. Well, I will say there was some really funny stuff too, because there's like, you know, Snake's like, he notices Meryl run off and the way she wags her butt. He's like, Metal Gear. Just And they kept saying that the reason why you could identify her is the way she wags her butt when she walks, even though she was dressed like a soldier, like one of the terrorists. And I just thought it was really funny. I never miss a woman on the battlefield. It was dumb. And then Otto was like, Snake, you told me that love could bloom on the battlefield. And he was going on his whole thing, how he fell in love with Sniper Wolf. I mean, it's just like, it's so dumb. It was so dumb, but I loved it. Like, it was so good. So,
yeah, sometimes anime cringe can be good cringe. I mean, it's genuinely supposed to be cringy, but like, there are different definitions of cringe and levels of cringe, and that's kind of appropriate.
Well, this was definitely some good cringe. So, Metal Gear Solid Collection, you get two thumbs up from me. I really enjoyed MGS1, and I would love to see this completely remade, like a Resident Evil style from the ground up remake.
Konami ain't gonna do that.
No. Well, we'll see what happens with the Snake Eater.
I don't. The reason why I say that they're not is because I don't know, that company is just very weird in terms of gaming. They want to make games and they don't want to make games, and they want to make games, and it's just like an on off thing, and it's just like,
yeah, they can't make
if you want to make a game or stick with the pachinkos. Come on.
I don't understand. But what's cool is this. So during now this is a little old school. I don't know how many young listeners we have, but back in the day when you would change between, like when you put your game console in, you would have sometimes the screen would flicker back and forth and it would say video, because a lot of times you would change your channel to either the 3 output or the video output. Yeah. And sometimes when it would do that, it would say video in the top right corner, but every now and again, the screen would kind of like put picture in and picture out. And then that video would be kind of here. Well, whenever you're having the Psycho Mantis fight, he does all these mind things on you and tries to, you know, make you see things. And then it would say Hideo instead of video. So it's a Hideo. So
literally the only good thing that came out of Konami is just,
well, back in the day, Konami had all the good licenses and made all the best beat 'em ups, and you know, there was Sunset Riders and there was Contra,
Metroidvanias, like the whole shit. Yeah. They had everything and they just let it go. I don't know.
Could you imagine an alternate universe where Konami's became like, whether they didn't like destroy their gaming output, but they doubled down on it? Like Capcom put so much love and so much care into their products. Could you imagine if Konami was like that? Because they didn't just have like you know, Capcom has a few things, but Konami had like dozens of just monster IP and license. You know,
There is something I'd like to say about Capcom. When it comes to remakes, they actually take really good care of their remakes. Like, they're the only company that I would trust with a remake in general, because you know that shit is going to be great. But like, and the sad thing is that, I mean, it's not really sad, but like, it's not a port. It's like a full blown remake. And like Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes, those are excellent remakes. Yep. The fourth one, it has a Game of the Year nomination.
Yep.
I don't even know how it got there, but it got there.
I mean, that breaks all the rules, you know, having a remake. It does,
but when that happens, it's honestly because they put so much care and effort into modernizing their stuff, but still giving it that, like, original gusto, you know, like, the story is still there. Effectively, the story is the same as Resident Evil 4 back in the day, but it just plays so much better.
And they changed, it was cool too, because they changed, like, you go to this place, to this place, to this place in the original, and a couple of those spots, they like, you know what, if we just turn this, now it makes more sense on how you have traversed as far as like the layout goes.
Yeah. And
it was things like that where it's like, you do care. You know, like you do, and that's all the gamers want. That's all we want, guys. Konami, all we want. We just want you to care because we care. You know, this stuff matters.
Konami just gives us a straight port.
Yep.
That's just. But
I will say, at least they gave it to us because it was good and it's good enough to have. I recommend owning it. I don't recommend paying full price for it. I think for the amount of work they did and what they're offering you, that $60, $70 is too much.
It's actually $60,
$70. Yeah, it was like, I think it's a $60 release on PS5. Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane.
Yep. Yep. And the thing is like, on, it's on sale on the network right now for like $37.99 or something like that.
I'd probably be worth that. But
yeah. Well, I picked it up brand new physically for $40, you know, at GameStop, and that was their holiday sale. And I was like, you know what? $40 is a good, I mean, you're getting three main games plus all the little VR missions that came with it. And under each one, so like for Metal Gear, in just one, there's the PAL version and the Japanese version. So, yeah, you're getting multiple versions. It's not like the Cowabunga collection. It's not that much love and care, but it's something. And what was really cool, I'll say this, and then we'll jump into the backlog beatdown stuff. But what was really cool is also in the collection, there's like the screenplay. So you can read the script and the screenplay for MGS. And they had a bunch of art in it and stuff like that. And there's actually a trophy for flipping through it. So I went through it and kind of skimmed it, read a little bit of it. And I was like, man, this right here is cool. Stuff like that, adding to the package, that is awesome, you know. But again, like I said, it's not a total disaster. It's not the best port we've ever seen. And for Konami to also have the Cowabunga collection out, and then I feel like they've done a better job in other places, but it was good. And I recommend it. I think it's worth having for sure. So, all right, JT, we're going to jump into the backlog beatdown. So first, before we jump into any kind of actual numbers, I just kind of want your high level thoughts, for year four of the backlog beatdown. You were the commish, you were the judge, jury, and executioner again. What did you think this year? Was the list a positive or a negative, net neutral? What'd you think?
So I got a surprise. Okay. I am going to be giving the winner a gift card.
Look at you. Well, that is very nice of you.
I don't know if it's 25 or 50, but you'll have something. I'll give it to you. Very kind. January, within the first week of January for sure.
Cool.
Because I wanted to just do the whole shock factor. Like, you brought it up a few times. Like, what if we actually just did that? I think if we do, more people will join next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have some thoughts on how I want to do things for next year. And I want to pitch them to you. I don't know if you listen to some of the most recent ramblings that I've put out on the podcast feed. But I think next year for the backlog beatdown, instead of doing the entire year, because we 4 years in a row, we've seen the same problem. Out the gate, people go real hard. The people who are going to be up top, get up top. And then the ones in the back half, they fall off. And it's just the handful of us that continue through the year. And sure, there's some trading spots here and there, but for the most part, you know, it's hard and heavy out the gate. And that first 6 months and the last 6 months, it dips off. So I thought for the BLB5, instead of doing a year long event, we would do like maybe two or three smaller events through the year. So for the BLB5, instead of doing January 1, you know, we kind of gear up for February, and then maybe we do like 1 or 2 months and then call it. And then we take a month or two off, and then we'll do something again. And then, like you said, maybe we can have some prize pools and some things to some incentives to make it fun, because I want people to participate, and I want people to, you know, have that burning desire, like, oh man, I need to beat this old game, you know, and I get points over here. I like the little meta that's to it. But we're going to do the rarity event again next year with Gareth.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a part of that because I'm just put into many different ecosystems, right, that I can't really
And that's kind of the thing too, is like we have our trophy competitions, we have the rarity event, we have the Backlog Beatdown. So I want to make it work. I'm not saying that I'm set in stone on it just yet. You and I will go kind of behind the scenes and pad it out and get it ready. But I do like the idea.
I think it's good because, like you said, the event at the end, there's only a few people who actually are playing the games at that point.
Right.
And even the top two people, they're not playing anything.
Nope. They bounced months ago.
They just said, we're done.
I'm yep, like, you won't catch us. So.
I'm pretty close. I only have 10 points to catch you. I'm styling on you, bro. But like, he's like, I'm not going to go for it. I told him I'm going to give a gift card. I told him and Red Beer Rick I'm going to give a gift card because they're the full most likely to. And I said that, like, even if I pass you, I'm still going to give one of you the gift card because whoever wins out of the two of you the gift card, because I can't get my own gift card.
Right. I mean, and there's still time. We're recording this on the 28th. This is going to go live today. So I actually postponed recording and dropping an episode for two reasons. A, I've been super sick. B, it was Christmas on Monday. And C, you and I had scheduled this for Thursday. So this will go live. As soon as we're done, I'll whip it together and get it out. And so it's the 28th. You've still got time to get that old 10-pointer.
Do we still keep the list? Because the thing is that I kind of want to have like one template.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually Jim is just not going to want to make right. us stuff. So I'll make it as easy as possible. And like that list is not going to make it easy for us to continue using it.
Yeah. Well, I think that I'm down for it. You and I can kind of work on some of those finer details, but I love the idea of a list. The list isn't for the top guys. The list is for the bottom guys. The list is there for people who go, well, I don't play
How do you think I actually was able to catch them in the first place? I just poured it on the list.
That's exactly what it's for. So yeah, I think that, you know, we could, I love the idea of keeping a list, and I'm down with keeping a list for the entirety of the year. And then we just do, you know, season one, season two, season three, whatever it looks like for next year when we have our shorter runs. And, but yeah, like I said, I love the list. Personally, I like the list out of all 4 years we've done the Backlog Beatdown. I think this one is my favorite as far as setup goes, because I feel like it gives people who want it and a shot to catch up. I mean, and I'm looking at the scores right now. So right here we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10th place. Okay. We have Trying Casually Games. That's John Michael Smart. Okay. We used to call him Game Squat when he was on the show years ago. He got 50 points this year. This is by far the most he's ever gotten in any of the Backlog Beatdowns.
Yeah.
And he had a good year. He had a good run. Now, I think that part of the list, because he beat four, he got four games off the list. Or maybe it's 4 points. I don't know how. I think it's four games off the list he did. And that's like.
Well, that certainly helped.
Yeah, that helped a ton. So, and that's who it's for. It's for those guys who maybe don't play near as much as some of the more competitive players, but has an opportunity to go, wait a second, there's 100 games on this list, 101, you know? And
they're not like gimme games. They're pretty decently stacked games. They're not like, we didn't just say, hey, let's give you some cheesy games. We gave you like real games.
Yeah. And some of those games are hard. Like some of the stuff on that list is like, you're gonna have to put in some work.
It's either going to be hard or grindy. Like mm-hmm. most of the things I put down was all like 50 to 100 hour RPGs.
Yep. Same. And most of the stuff I put down were like games to platinum or 100% in them. You're going to have to do 4, 5, 6 playthroughs. So, but yeah, so I like the list personally, and I think that that was something we could do again in the future. Yeah, well, yeah, I ain't worried about the haters. The people that hated the most were the ones that didn't participate anyways. So it's just like, whatever, you know, not everything is for you and not everything is for me. So that's okay. So I'm going to go ahead and go down through the list and just kind of read the scores. So we got Red Beer Rick in first place currently with 149 points. I'm Styling On Your Bro with 136 points. We got JT, the commish, with 125 points. Now, I do want to point out, you have the most games beaten out of everybody.
Yeah.
You have 35 games beaten. You have the most. All right, we got Gareth with 95 points. We have Diego with 86 points. We got Alex from the Trophy Horrors with 79. Resident Daryl with 78. We have Yield with 72. We have MZ Nitro with 59, Trying Casually with 50. We have Sadik with 49. Now, Sadik was off to a good run for a while, and he had 22 games beaten, but he and I talked not too long ago. He had kind of gotten into some, he hosts like a trivia thing every week, and he's kind of out and about and doing more stuff, you know, outside, touching grass, you know. Social stuff. We had Duplex with he has 38 points, but he only beat 8 games that he actually put on the list. He got 21 points for the bonuses, so that's pretty solid. We got Departed with 35 points. We got CJ with 34 points. He quit claiming his points a while back, too. We have Jared with 34, Kali with 28, James the Nerd with 23, Dino Killer with 14, Noah the Builder with 14. I don't think my son's beat a game in a while. That kid has played live service online games all year long. He's playing Siege. He's done. Oh my gosh. He's played Monster Hunter like a ton, just grinding it out, helping other people beat it.
Monster Hunter is kind of endless. It's a hub based online game. It's close to an MMO, not quite an MMO, but
he plays it like one for sure. We got Zach Ledford, the bearded nerd, with 13 points.
Plays nothing.
No, he doesn't. And he doesn't play. So we got Spider Packs with 5. We got Sid with 3 and Haley Pickle with 2. So again, that bottom section just kind of dried up and fell off the map about halfway through.
Sid should have more though. I think he just stopped
claiming them. Yeah.
Now, what was I going to say? Kali had Kali has been playing a lot of games, so I'm Steam friends with Kali.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that she never actually finishes them. Right. But like I see her playing, and the coolest thing is that whenever I see her playing, I go to her account, see what she's playing, press on the game, look at the game, see that it's totally something I would be interested in, and that's just one more game to the backlog for me. It's every single time Kali plays a game, I buy that game. Like, oh my God, what are you doing to me?
That's so funny.
CJ stopped reporting because he didn't like being a part of these community events anymore due to the fact that people just kept on shaming him for being the reason why things are. I don't understand that, but like he doesn't really do anything wrong. People just like don't like him in the community events, apparently.
Yeah, I don't understand it personally.
I feel like he has a lot more than he lets on as well, but he just like quit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that he gets, you know, again, annoyed by the amount of heat he catches undeservingly, you know, for what he plays. And the thing that I guess people just don't understand is that, like, first off, there are very few people in this world like CJ. CJ plays everything. And CJ's trophy list proves he can play and can platinum anything. But when you're the number one trophy hunter in Australia, you're stuck in that hamster wheel, that rat race, where you got to play the trash to stay on your position.
I mean, you interviewed Mr. Unknown. He said the same thing, and he got out of the race, but to do that, he had to quit trophy hunting altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we've talked to these guys and we've heard some stories on this podcast and others where it's almost like it's almost miserable because they're like, well, you work so hard and you spend so much money to achieve this. And then once you achieve it, everybody around wants to talk junk. And it's like, well, you know what? Screw you guys. I'll go home and I'll play by myself, and I don't fault him for it because it's annoying.
It is very annoying, but like people should give him less flack. He's a cool guy, man. Like CJ is one of my favorite people to just talk shop and
play
video games with, because he's a you want a Discord call with CJ, it's going to be a fun time.
He's a blast. He's so funny. He's so funny. Such a genuinely good guy. So
I get really upset when people target him. I genuinely just get upset because he's just such a nice guy.
Yep, I agree. And much love to CJ. So some of the best years of the Loot Bros podcast were when he was on with us, just because he's so...
Couldn't agree
more. There's a handful of people in this world, JT, that their comedic timing just gets me. You know what I'm saying? I'll name three guys. Okay? Frosty, for all the good and the bad, that dude's comedic timing he kept me laughing all the time. CJ. Yeah. CJ, having CJ on and communicating and interacting with CJ was always fun. It was always a laugh. And I look forward to it every time. And then the most recently, Will from the PlayStation Ain't Dead podcast. Will's hilarious. Like every time I talk about Will to like my wife or somebody, they're like, I'm like, yeah, he's a comedian. Like, he's just a freaking funny dude. And
I'm too random, man. One day I'll be talking about kidney ticklers, and then the next year I'll just...
See? Yep. And
I don't have any good timing. I just do it. it just fucking is.
You keep it real. You keep it real. But yeah, so Will, he's got his show, the PlayStation and Dead podcast, and he and I've been casting shade back and forth. So if you guys are looking for a fun show, go check out check out any show but PlayStation Ain't Dead, actually. So but yeah, so he and I we've been talking junk back and forth, and so it's been a good time. But those three guys, CJ especially, man, they're just so funny, and I just like it's been a good time interacting with them. But yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, everybody get off of CJ's nuts.
So. It's a big shame. But in general, I think this was a fine year for the competitors that were around. I think what is this here? Did we have more game people? I mean, not people, more games reported this year?
So we don't have the total, but just looking at it,
418.
Okay, yeah, you do have the total.
I mean, if you go down the cells, you'll see that your post MGS1 remastered 418.
Okay. Well, I wasn't on that screen. I was on the I'm on the stats.
Yeah, I was on the stats too, but I have both open. So yeah, it's hold up, 417, because the first one is the one that says name, game, system, store, everything else is just a game that was, so it's 418.
Nice. That's a lot of games.
A lot of games just either beat or 100% it. It's great. Great to see. Yep.
It really is. And I want to give a couple just on, you know, not so much honorable mentions or shout outs, but just, I want to point out a few people that I think just watching over this year have really just been impressive with the stuff they beat, Diego being one of them. Diego has platinumed so many just incredible games, and like busting out that run of Call of Duties he platinumed.
Jesus. I'm like,
geez, yeah, like that's ridiculous. Like, don't get me wrong, I've got my one Call of Duty platinum, and I'm happy with it.
It's the best Call of Duty. It's Call of Duty Ghosts.
It's so funny because I'm starting to see people kind of change their opinion on it, right?
Now, so, I always thought that was the best one. It had the best co-op extinction. Yes, like it had the best. Yeah, I mean, I love playing as a dog. I know people hated it, but I loved it.
There you go. There you go. It's so funny, dude. That story and that extinction mode, so good. But it's so funny because like now I'm starting to hear other personalities, and like I'm on Whatnot a good bit, right? So. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone throws Call of Duty is for sale, Call of Duty Ghost, I'll comment, man, that's the best Call of Duty. And then I'll start hearing these different people go, man, yeah, it was that extinction mode. And it's so funny because like that one was panned so much because it was
universally hated.
Yep.
And now everybody loves it.
Now
because they go back and they figure like, hey, you know, that one had the multiplayer was shit, but like everything else was
pretty
good. Solid.
So,
but you know, like 75% of Call of Duty people, they just play it for the multiplayer. They don't play it for the co-op,
which we'll never, campaign. You know, they'll never understand what they're missing. But yeah, man. I wanted to give Diego a shout out, man. That's just incredible. Just some of the games he busted out were just pretty friggin' solid.
I saw Black Ops, and I was like,
yep.
It's a shame you can't get Black Ops 2 anymore.
So I'm looking through the list, all right? And so I just want to call out a few things. So it looks like I'm Styling On Your Bro had the most 100% with 30. Mm-hmm. All right, JT, you had the most games beat. Let's see here. MZ, okay, Rebby Rick had the most points for games on the list. Let's see, MZ, he stayed pretty competitive. He beat 16 games. And then 100% 16 games. So that's pretty solid. Let's see. I beat 33 games and I only 100% 5 of those. That's pretty whack. I think I have the most discrepancy between beaten and 100%. I 100% way less games this year than I ever have.
You do what you do. I mean, if you're happy with beating games, then that's fine.
Well, that's my thing is I've gotten to the point now where it's like critical mass. I have so many that
you're never going to get through them. You're going to die before. So you gotta do at least the bare minimum before you croak. Yep.
Crank it down to easy and enjoy the game.
Basically go for the platinum runs on everything after that and then die a happy death. I saw everything.
Yeah. Well, that's like, going into 2024, right, my motivations is going to be to beat games and then platinum my very favorites. You know, I don't know how many platinums I'll end up getting. I don't even know how many I got this year, but it wasn't that many. So I think, there's certain games like Arkham Knight. I'm going to platinum that, you know. I don't know that I'll platinum MGS. I was looking at it and it doesn't seem too impossible, but it really does seem like I'll have to continue to fight with those controls.
Do they separate the trophy list for those or is it okay? You probably do it.
I got 13 out of 19 trophies for MGS1, you know, and it's
separate playthrough ones, like go through it.
And so one of them is complete a VR training mission. That's not going to be hard. The other one is going to obtain the bandana, which when you're getting tortured from a Revolver Ocelot, you can give up or you can endure the torture. I endured 3 rounds of torture. And then on the 4th round, I died and I got annoyed. And then I went in when I restarted, I had to do all that over again. And I was like, I don't want to do this because I just wasn't feeling good. So I just killed it. I just died, you know? And then, so that allowed me to get the stealth camo ending. Mm. So, you know, you have to do both for the trophies. So I've got my save right there at the torture scene. So I could load it back up and then just kind of power through, beat the rest of the game with the, to unlock the bandana. The bandana gives you infinite, unlimited ammo. So, and then there's Elite. This is the trophy. It's called Elite, but it's obtain the Fox or Big Boss code name. And then there's beat all the VR training missions. And then there's exercise a ghost photo, which is something you have to do in the game. So it's not hard. I don't know. I might do it. I enjoyed it enough to consider it, but you know, I don't know, hunting trophies and platinums on that stuff. Like there's a certain section of the year where that is my focus. And that's when we do the GTTSC. And so I've got about 6 or 8 games primed to the platinum and I'm going to wait on those. And so now it's kind of like, well, I'll just play games and beat them and enjoy them. And then I'll go real hard on trophy hunting for that season. And then when we're eliminated, I'll go away and I'll just beat games again. So I think that's going to be my focus next year. That's kind of the way I did it this year. And it was perfect because, you know, it is, JT, you and I have been friends for a long time, Mm-hmm. And I've seen you do that too, where you're like trophy hunting like a madman. Then you're like, okay, burnout. Let's just go enjoy stuff. Yeah. And then you're like, all right, I'm back. Trophy hunting like a madman. And then it's like, all right, a little bit of burnout. Let's slow down. All right. And so we both do the same thing. You go a little harder than I do, but
it's, I didn't whore at all this year.
And how do you feel?
Fine.
Yeah. Same. I have maybe, oh gosh, 3 or 4, maybe a little bit more. I don't know. I didn't go crazy either. Tricky and I had that year of trophy of spam celibacy. And then yeah. I didn't
you kind of feel... stuck with it though. Yeah, like yeah. Tricky went AWOL.
Oh, and he just did.
Like got like 800 platinums. You kind of stuck with it. Because the thing is that after a while, you're just like, why am I doing this? Because the only reason to play those games is to get high up in the rankings.
Yep.
And you're not gonna get high up in the rankings. No. It's too late to do that. You're done. So to me, it was more of like, this is pointless. This is actually pointless. If I'm never going to get to that first page because everything's already set in stone and they're going to just keep on getting like 50 platinums a day. I'm here. I can't catch up to that.
Dude, my trophy stats are the same as they have been for like the past 4 years. My trophy completion is 49.82%, which, you know, I've teetered below and slightly above 50% for years now because you used to give me a hard time about it. My world rank is 4,000. Because remember, I kept joking. I'd say on the podcast, I'm going to tank my trophy completion and just see if you would respond. But my world rank, I'm 4,941 in the world, and I'm 985 in the country. That's pretty much been my stats for 4 years, you know, and I've had some years where I've done more trophy hunting and whoring. And then I've had some years like this year where I just enjoyed myself. Sure, I had a couple months where I played hard, but like I beat so many fun games this year and bounced between so many games. Now, looking through, I'm just going to pull up my platinum list right now. Let's look at just platinums. So these would be considered spammy or questionable platinums. Okay. Mia and the Dragon Princess. It's one of those Whales Interactive movies, but essentially you just play through the multiple endings. And
I mean, it's, was it like a few hours? Like,
yeah, a couple hours. I mean, 4 hours, I think is what it ended up being.
That's not so much. So in my opinion, games are not questionable if they're above 2 hours.
Okay. Well, then we'll say Peppa Pig would not be questionable because that one was 3 hours.
I don't even consider. Well, let me state this again. I would have if it was the early PS4/PS3.
Era. Right.
But I don't even consider Hannah Montana to be questionable.
No, because that was like 6 or 8 hours.
I don't, like, back in the day, yeah, you played that for the easy platinum. Now, people just stay clear of it because there's just so much more easier shit. I don't consider that at all to be questionable anymore. Like, all those kid games, like the Adventure Time point-and-click game, all that stuff, it's not questionable anymore. It's just, they're games.
Yeah.
They might be bad games, but they're games.
Well, I've got some bad ones on here. Totally Normal Journey, Pigeon pee. Let's see. I did Rush Hour Deluxe. That one was just a pretty much a gimme one. Garlic, Jumping Fries. But see, the thing is, I did these when I needed, like, I needed certain. Well, I don't think Jumping Fries I did that. I think Jumping Fries I did to be funny. I don't remember why I did that one. Maybe I did need that one for the GTTSE. I can't remember. Some of the ones I have on here that are questionable, I did specifically because I needed them for that competition.
I could name you some games from my list because they're both auto pops.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man 2018 and Jedi Fallen Order.
Okay.
That they're the only games that I would consider whoring.
Yeah.
Because my whole thing is that if I'm going to give up on the trash, I'm going to put it somewhere else. So I was like, sometimes you need that extra platinum.
Yeah.
So I auto popped Spider-Man 2018 plus all the DLC. I auto popped Jedi Fallen Order. I'm not ashamed of it at all, because in my opinion, it's always been my stance. If it's allowed on the leaderboards, then you can't talk smack about it.
That's right. I popped the platinum for, I think Nightbook was the first one. Maybe it was DC Super Pets. No, I don't remember. I was watching TV doing, no. Gray Skies, final answer. Gray Skies was the first platinum I popped post GTTSE. And I was like, man, that felt pretty good. I think I could be wrong. I might be going crazy because I'm looking at it now and I don't remember the dates on it anymore. But then I popped a few, like Peppa Pig and DC Super Pets were just like remote play. I put them in my Kishi, and when the kids and I are watching horror movies, and we're, you know, I'm playing those games just because they're mindless.
Speaking of which, I need to talk with Gareth about my prize for the trophy for the Steam achievement streak I did.
Apparently, what's your streak?
It was 35 exactly.
Hmm.
He said that I was the only one who reported and finished it.
Nice.
I got something for that.
There you go.
But I will say that with Steam, I have four.
I mean, you know, sometimes you got to get a little bit in there. So,
I mean, 2 minutes, it's literally like 1 second, 10,000 achievements.
Holy crap. That's insane.
Do you know how I got 258,000 achievements last year?
From
those games, you just boot it up and it shoots out 5,000 to 20,000 achievements. I'm like, oh,
that's insane.
You read it out as achievement points when I told you to read them out, but they were actually just Steam achievements. Like there is no actual point system in Steam. So like, it's like how CJ has above 100,000 trophies. I got that in like a week in Steam. I was like, holy shit.
Jeez.
I think that's only wild. Got like 10,000 this year, though.
Well, JT, I do appreciate your time, brother. And I'm glad we were able to do this another year. I look forward to the Backlog Beatdown 5. Guys, if you made it this far, thank you so much for participating. Thank you so much for your time. Be on the lookout for the kickoff for the BLB5. We're going to do things a little bit different. JT and I are going to put something together, and we will back.
We'll force Jim to do another
something. But we will come back together, you and I, to announce and launch the next BLB. And in the meantime, JT, man, you have a great new year. Hope you had a great Christmas. I know we talked about it a little bit.
I really needed this vacation because I was staring deadpan. Like, I was literally, I should have spread out the vacation time more this year, but like, because I didn't do that, I was mentally exhausted. So I really needed this.
Yep. So that's something my wife and I talked about for 2024, like kind of our resolution for each other is we are going to do more vacations and more family outings. So this year,
we're just working. It could get you like strained.
Yeah. Well, this year, you know, I've said before, yeah, I switched careers almost 2 years ago and I came out of manufacturing and, you know, operations management and stuff like that to the mortgage business, and the mortgage business tanked a few months after I got in. So it was a very, very difficult time. Hang on a second. It was a very difficult transition, and it was a difficult, this was a hard year. And from what I understand from all of my friends in the industry, this has been just a difficult year for everybody. So all I've known is that this is being stressful and hard. So I told her, I was like, you know, we didn't travel a lot and we didn't do a lot of stuff because we're, you know, trying to be financially conscious of what we're doing. And I'm like, all it did at the end of the year was cause us to be more stressed out. And then, so we went on vacation right before Christmas and I'm going to do more of that. So we're going to do more vacations throughout the year.
That's going to be my New Year's resolution, is just to spread out the vacation day so I don't go mentally insane.
That's right. That's right. That's what they're there for, man. Use them. Enjoy yourself. You know? So you don't have a ton of time in this world. So enjoy what you got. So thank you so much, JT. You are the freaking man. I appreciate everything you've brought to the table since I met you. And I look forward to another killer year playing games, doing cool stuff together. Guys, thank you so much, Loot Bros listeners, for a fun year. It's been a big year, a lot of changes, a lot of crazy cool stuff happened. Look forward to another year of Loot Bros and lots of cool guests. I'm gonna have Gareth on here soon, so we're gonna talk about kind of like the wrap up for the rarity event. And we got that coming up, and then we're gonna jump into the next year. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I want to do more community stuff. I know every year we do something. We do more something. This year coming up, I want to do more, which is contrary to how I do things. But I want to do more online gaming with the community. So MZ and I have been talking about knocking out some more stuff. JT, it's been a long time since you and I knocked a game out together. So maybe we can get some boost sessions or just something together, you know, just to have that time where we all kind of
as long as it's crossplay, I don't mind.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
I mean, I have a PS5, but I if it's crossplay, that would be better.
We can get something.
I like playing on the PC.
I wouldn't mind getting like something maybe that's a little grindier, you know, something that's just going to take a while and everybody, you know, kind of chip away at it. So, but hey, this has been the Loot Bros podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time. And always remember, JT, the anime is for pervs.
I can't deny that.